Ignite your potential and fuel your fire within. I am Ryan Stevens, and I'm here to help you own your spark with the Catalyzing Podcast. We're back with another exciting episode of the Catalyzing Podcast, and today we are going to be talking perseverance and resilience in the pursuit of your passions. And recently, I live in central New Jersey. It does exist, contrary to popular belief. I live locally here. I ran into at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce meeting about a month ago. I met Prem Kumar, and it was just a really awesome opportunity to meet someone who shares passion for wanting to help people in the same way that I do, but in different capacities. And more importantly, I just was touched by Prem's story of perseverance and resilience. And as I got to know Prem a little more, I just felt, you know what, this is not only a great opportunity for him and I to collaborate at times professionally, but also I wanted to share that story as some inspiration and some hope and some guidance for our listeners out there as well. So Prem, thank you for joining today on the Catalyzing Podcast.
Oh, thank you, Ryan, for having me, and thanks for the kind introduction. You know, it's a story, but I think everybody is very much capable of doing the same.
I absolutely agree. That's my take on it. I absolutely agree. And the more I hear from you too, the more it inspires me to push through all the challenges that I face as well as I'm building my business and moving forward right now. So, you know, Prem, you are the founder and the principal consultant basically for Efficus Consulting. And, you know, your focus is on helping businesses with their brand strategy, with their business strategy. And you know, I went into that more in depth in the intro for this episode, but I want to first start off with your, you know, I'll call it the 11th hour story. You know, when you first decided that you wanted to come to the United States, you had this desire to do something greater with your life professionally. Give us a little story of your journey here in the beginning when you first came to the US.
Sure, absolutely. Ryan, first of all, again, thank you for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to, first of all, known you and then being part of this podcast that you're trying to help a number of people. So my story goes back way back in 1989 when I landed here in the US with $250 in my pocket. And I'm not exaggerating, I just had $250. I still remember the denominations, $100 note, 250s, four tens, and two fives. That's what I had. I didn't know a soul here in the US. And I landed. And to take us back a little bit more, so my background has been in science. I have a master's in biology, and I wanted to continue my career in that field. But unfortunately, for a number of circumstances, which I won't go into it, I was not able to, you know, pursue my PhD and then come to the US. That was the original plan. And that was kind of cut short after my master's. And then I kind of went into a different field, believe it or not, in travel trade, just to help out for a project. And that project kind of extended it to 5 years, which I had a blast because it was my first job after college. Mm-hmm. And I was working for an international airline. So everything was good and dandy for the first year. Of course, you know, there's something new and you are excited about it. But then after that, you know, the reality hits in, and the reality was that I was doing something in science and I wanted to pursue a career in science, and that's not what I was doing. But I was, you know, getting promoted, getting paid very well, but that's not what I wanted to do. So that kind of kindled a spark in me, because my goal was to come to the US after my PhD, but lo and behold, you know, the 5 years that I went into the travel business, every time I would come back from Hong Kong, which was the headquarters for us, from a training or, you know, from a meeting or something like that, on the way back on my flight, I would always contemplate, what am I doing? Because this is not what I set out to do. And, you know, that thought process went on and became stronger and stronger. And one day I got promoted again. And that was a kind of a signal for me. I mean, I'm getting too deep into it. So I quit. I quit, and I told my general manager at that time, saying I'm leaving. So he says, where am I going? I said, I'm going to the US. To do what? I said, I have no idea, but I want to get back into my science field. And that's what the fire was. So One of the things I always tell people that anybody that that I come across is that if you put yourself in that position, things happen. It is this contemplating pattern, which I was part of it for the 5 years, because believe me, I was getting paid well. I was traveling the globe. I mean, and I was a single child. I mean, only child, living the dream, and so to say. But not doing what I wanted to do, which again equates to everybody's life. If you're not doing what you want to do, I will second guess, I would try to refocus and exactly do what you want to do. Because that's what the joy in life is about, persevering and going behind or going after what you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. So I landed here, knocked on doors, believe it or not, lived on 1 meal a day because I had to stretch the dollar. Remember, I had $250 in my pocket. I met a friend who was kind enough to offer me his residence for free, not for free, but at least he was accommodating me without paying the rent initially, which of course I paid back. But for the first 6 months, I was trying to get a foothold. I lived on 1 meal a day, knocking on doors, find a job. And then one thing led to the other, and then I started my career in science field. I managed a cardiac cath lab, both at Montefiore Hospital and St. Francis Hospital in New York for about a decade. And then I jumped into the industry, the pharmaceutical industry, because of my background. And I did extremely well, not only in sales leadership. I went into training. I was specifically focused on oncology and cancer drugs. And that kind of led me to different positions, and then in marketing roles. And then I went into, being part of a company that was built from scratch. I said, I want to do something on my own. And I went on my own for 2018. It's been almost 7 years, and I've been having a blast ever since. Not that I'm, every corporate job I've had has some very positive impact on me, because that's what I learned, the tools to do what I do now. But to your point, it is the passion and the urge to follow what you want to do. And I always tell people, on that Sunday night, if you don't feel like going to work or whatever you're doing, you need to have a second thought of what you actually want to do. That's my kind of the clue. And if it happens for the first week, and if it happens for the second week, the third week, it is time, my friend, to go after what you actually want to do.
And take us back. So when we talk about, I'm sure you were very frustrated at times. There were times where you kind of had self-doubt when you were walking those streets in New York, knocking on doors, couldn't find the opportunities. You had a goal. You had your mindset of, I want to get back into this area, within whether it be a hospital setting, pharmaceutical, something like that. You wanted to do something in the science, life science setting. And you had an opportunity. You got an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But then the issue came up with your visa.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm talking about with the 11th hour. Walk us through, because this is a great example of you're grinding, you're working hard, you have hope for things, but there's like one thing that's just keeping you from getting to the next level. Well, for you, sure. You were concerned that you might not be able to stay. Oh, so tell us what happened with that in the last
absolutely
moment.
So talk about frustration, right? So I'm from Mumbai in India, and it's about between 16 and 18 hour flight to the US to land in New York. And I'll tell you, yes, I took the decision to come here. I had no soul. I didn't know anybody, and I didn't have a lead. I had nothing, right? Just $250 in my pocket. And all through that 18 hours of flight, think about not frustration, but anxiety. And, I didn't know what I was going to do. I just wanted to get back into the science field. So lo and behold, of course, when I came here, I was always a strategist. The moment I landed on JFK on March 10th, 1989, I strategized. How do I take the $250? Then a friend of mine came, helped for 2 days, actually. And then that kind of propelled me to the next step and the next step and the next step after that. But to your question about the visa, right? So when a visitor comes to the US, they usually get a 6 month visa and then extend it for another 6 months, right? So my visa from March 10th, 1989 was expiring on December 10th, 1989. And I had not landed a job, was quote unquote sponsorship then. It was December first week, and of course I applied to the New York Times, so I still get the New York Times even today because that's what got me all the opportunities. So I was interviewed at Montefiore in the cardiac cath lab because cardiology was something that I understood well within my master's. So lo and behold, I got the position, and then of course I needed a sponsorship. When I went to the HR, they said, "You don't have, we don't sponsor, it's a policy here." And I had 5 days left on my visa. And of course, if that thing didn't go through, I'll have to come back because I didn't want to be an illegal citizen here in the US. So, I went to the HR. The lady said, her name was Wanda Martinez. Wanda said, "Prem, we have a policy that we don't sponsor." So I convinced her to give me 15 minutes. And she walks into the office, says, "You got 15 minutes." So I actually literally had to make up my mind with about 10 steps getting into this person's office. I didn't know what's male, female, nothing. I had to make up my pitch, so to say, within those 10 steps. So she said, "I got 15 minutes." So as soon as I walk in, I see this lady there. I take my watch out and I said, "I got 15 minutes to convince you why you should hire me." I said, "I already got the position, but I need a sponsorship. And I understand that you don't sponsor." So my pitch was that I have the qualification that is needed for the position. And I said, "You have nothing to lose by employing me because my credentials are right. All you got to do is sign here saying that I have the credentials. And if you're still not, you're apprehensive about it, you can put a clause saying that you employ this gentleman for 3 months, and if it doesn't work out, fire him." Right? And I said, "My visa is expiring in 5 days. And if you don't give me the visa, I'll have to go back home. And I actually want to start my career in science." She looks up to me, and I was pretty transparent with her. And it took me about, I guess, 10 or 12 minutes to tell my story. And she looks up and says, "Prem, you were pretty straightforward and honest with me. I'm going to change the policy and give you the sponsorship that you need." And that's how I started my career. So talking about, I said 5 days left on my visa, and it was December 3rd or the 4th when I actually the December the 5th when I actually put my paperwork into the US immigration. So about 48 hours before the visa
Wanda
expired.
Martinez, if you are listening, it's because of you that this great man is still here.
I'm trying to find her. In fact, some of my friends at Montefiore is trying to find Wanda Martinez because I lost touch with her. And I
There you
believe
go.
she's somewhere in Texas, but
If anyone who knows Wanda Martinez on this podcast, please reach out to me and we will find it. No,
yes,
that's awesome.
absolutely.
And that's a great story because it's easy to look at all of the obstacles, to look at that mountain ahead of you and be intimidated by it, or to have self-doubt. That imposter syndrome creeps up in with what you're trying to do in any profession that you do. If you're trying to build a new business, or if you're trying to grow your team, or you kind of step outside of your comfort zone to take on a new
Right.
initiative that you didn't have before. And what I've found is when you're facing those challenges, you have to have reminders of your why, of your purpose, for
Absolutely.
what is it that you want to get there. A visual reminder. It could be something that you wear. It could be a bracelet. It could be something on your desk. It could be a picture that you look at that, you feel it, you think about it every time that doubt's creeping in. I think a big part of it too is the people you surround yourself.
Absolutely.
People in your inner circle that can affirm and believe in you, that can be honest with you about when something's not working, it's time to pivot, but also can be the ones to say, "I know you're doubting yourself. I believe in you. Let's figure it out. You got this."
Right.
If nothing else, just that affirmation. I think those are some helpful things that have just helped me be resilient through the ups and downs in my career, is those reminders that are visual, that remind you of your purpose, of your mission, and then surrounding yourself with the handful of people in your inner circle that you can go to that will just tell you to keep going. That makes a world of difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, you hit all the right points. You know, yes, people say it's the frustrations. It is the, actually to me, I have a different perspective, not a different perspective, but a perspective that the universe, because I think the universe is a global energy that works with you, good, bad, or ugly. It doesn't matter, mm-hmm. right? And if you're trying to do good, and whatever your mission is, the universe somehow plays it. Don't ask me the science behind it. I've not understood mm-hmm. it, but it's happened to me so many times. I'll give you a perfect example. So as I was going through this process of trying to network and trying to find some avenues to get a sponsorship, as I was staying with this friend, I got invited to some social event, and I, you know, he said his brother is at NYU professor, said you should go meet him. And when I met a couple of people, and all those people said, you know, friend, there's so many people like you. There is no hope for you here, right? And go back home. And I literally, because I was convinced, I'd already made up my mind. This is the years of dreaming to come to the U.S. And here I am. A little comment like that is not going to, you have to set aside that. Mm-hmm. I immediately, as soon as I heard that, I said, thank you very much. I walked out of the party. I didn't even spend another minute with it. Mm-hmm. To your point about surrounding yourself with the right people, because there's always a solution to a problem, right? And that's why the world exists as today, whether it is Elon Musk, whether you believe in his, or Amazon or what, anything that is happening this good in this world started with a thought. Mm-hmm. And that thought has to be protected. That thought has to be nourished. That thought has to be guarded to that vision. So everything that you talked about, knowing your why, is absolutely clear. You have to create that why, right? For me, it was that I wanted to get back into the science field. I didn't know where it was going to be, right? Mm-hmm. I actually wanted to become an oceanographer, but I've done nothing in oceanography ever since I've landed, but probably that was not my call. But I got back into my science field. That was my why. And I would not, anything and nothing would have stopped me from getting there. But you have to figure a way to ignore those negative aspects that come along your way. So absolutely, knowing your why is absolutely on the top of the list. But then the other thing I'll tell you is that break it down to smaller goals. What do I mean by that? I'll give you a perfect example. I go to the gym, I play professional soccer back home. So I had a pretty aggressive and intense workout schedule because I used to play every weekend. There was some tournament or something that I was the captain of the side. And I used to lead. So, you have to lead by example. So I used to practice intense practice, like stamina, running, ball control, everything, right? So I used to start my day at 4:30 in the morning. I didn't let that go. Even today, I go at 4:30 in the morning, of between 4:30 and 5 in a gym. But if you go to any gym, I go to one of the gyms, local gyms here, January 1st, right? You will see at least 25, 30 people come in. And I've been in town we live in, Flemington, for last 18 years, and I've noticed this for 18 years. I've not kept statistics about it. But every year, there is about 15, 20, 25 people that join in the first week of January. About 15th of February, it reverts back to the old group that was there every single year. Why? And the reason why it happens is because people, if you have not exercised for a year long, and you want to go work out and build muscle, and you work out for 3 hours, it ain't happening, right? Mm-hmm. You're gonna build it up. What do I mean by small goals? Today you start at 10 minutes, right? And see how it feels. Oh, tomorrow you get up, let's say for example, you have a goal of getting up, you get up at 6 o'clock, let's say, or 7 o'clock, whatever the time is, but you wanna get up earlier. You can't go from 6 o'clock in the morning that you normally do to 4 a.m. It won't work because you will regret it. But if you do the increments, tomorrow I'm going to, this week I'm going to get at 5:45. And then the following week, you get up at 5:30. So increments of 15 minutes will lead you there if you are serious enough, right? That takes me to another important point. You break down your goals into small, achievable ones. Celebrate those ones. Yes, I can do it. I can do this. I can take one step at a time. I can, you know, and I'll get there. And to your point, visualize them. You need to adapt. As things come along, you need to nudge. That's why from a business strategy perspective, that's what I do. I always say that there's no one business plan that is excelling in everything. There isn't none. If anybody tells you that there is one, they're lying, because there isn't one. You have to have a strategic plan. But as you put together the execution of the strategic plan, in comes life or frustration or roadblocks, and you have to pivot. You have to adapt. So that's something that I would strongly say that you need to have to build anything that you want. It doesn't matter whether it's a job, it's a work, your relationship, anything. And then, of course, the visualization part. But there is another important part that I sometimes struggle, and I think everybody does, is the accountability. What do I mean by that? If I say I am going to do something by end of today, 5 o'clock, don't fool yourself. Be accountable to yourself, right? It's an art. Believe me, it's an art. Because what happens is I do it all the time, and sometimes I struggle with it because I'll have 10 things to do. And then by the 8th time I'm exhausted or whatever, something else comes in, whatever the reason is, right? And then I go, I will do it tomorrow. It's a mistake, right? I do it so very often. So one of the things that I'm working on now is to be accountable to yourself. Mm-hmm. If you say that I am going to do something, do it. Right? Another thing, I'll be very transparent. You know, I love to eat. Now, I love to, you know, I want to lose weight, but, you know, I struggled a lot because I like to eat. And, you know, if you want to lose weight, you have to control your eating. And if you continue to eat, the execution of your thoughts is not there, you won't see the result. So what did I do? I cut down my breakfast. So I have got breakfast down, I have got my lunch down, I'm fine. But dinner comes, I'm famished again, right? I don't have that in control. Believe me, I don't, right? Now my next step is to control the dinner part. So what I'm saying is that everybody struggles with something or the other. And it is very clear to be accountable. The more accountable to yourself, the better accountability you get to the rest. Because you don't have to be accountable to the rest of the world. They will see that you're accountable to yourself. Everything else will fall in place. So these are some of the few things that I, you know your why, you to be adaptable. You need to break it down to small goals. Be adaptable, be very focused on what you want to do, small things, right? Accountability and visualize. And of course, there's a few other things that goes along with it, but just
absolutely. To take and those parallels are evident, you know, especially for those listening who are entrepreneurs or wanting to be entrepreneurs, or are leaders in your workplace. Those are all very important aspects of being a leader. But when we think about the teams that we lead, you have to also expand that outside of yourself. So if you're growing a business, and the way you help businesses, you were helping them with their systems, making sure they're scalable, making sure their brand resonates and can be put out there. When I'm working with organizations, I'm trying to help them connect their people with those systems, with that brand, but so they work together and want to deliver it. And to speak to your accountability aspect of it, one thing that has always been so important on the teams that I've led and the people that I work with now, the workshops that we do, we talk about shared accountability and shared servant leadership. And what that means to me and what that showcases and looks and feels like on the outside is when everybody is accountable, they're responsibly independent, they're accountable for their own musical instrument that they play in that band of that workplace.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then they are working effectively and interdependently, meaning they understand what everybody else's accountabilities are.
Right. Right.
So you have your own accountability. You have my accountability to Prim, my accountability to Stephanie, my accountability to Bob, And then what is our joint accountability? Together we work on. And I think we have to understand those three dimensions. We have to understand our own accountabilities. We have to understand our accountability to others and how we impact their job or their role or their outcomes. But then also collectively, what do we have to be working collaboratively
Absolutely.
Towards as well too? And a big part of that is your why. Everybody on that team or in that business needs to understand what that why is and why their accountability is important in that why.
Yeah, absolutely.
And absolutely. So that's so crucial. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, because as a leader, when we're talking about the business side of it, you have to connect it over to the people side of it. And if you lead a team, the people have to understand not all the intricacies maybe of the systems or the business plan, but the need to understand why their role is important and how they can be accountable for themselves, and then how their accountability plays into the bigger picture of shared accountability with others. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. You've got 30 years plus in life sciences and hospital, pharmaceutical, device industries. What other advice do you have for entrepreneurs out there trying to build their business? You know, what factors are most important for them to establish a successful, scalable brand, based other than what we've already said?
Absolutely. It is, you know, there are many, many aspects that goes into a successful business, but I'll name a few. One is having a very clear vision, right?
Yeah.
I always have I'm not the one who coined it, but don't try to boil the ocean, right? You will not be successful in boiling the ocean. But you need to have what is that you're getting good at? And in today's world, knowledge or imparting, being a knowledge broker, right, is where the shared economy or the shared responsibility lies in today's hybrid world, the virtual world, because COVID, as you know, has changed things around. And what COVID has done is changed the aspects of business so much, from the way you do business, the way you communicate, the way you interact, the way every dynamic of business has been changed, right? So one of the important things to have a very clear vision of what you want to achieve. Now, it could be very broad at the beginning, but as you scale that vision down to something that you will come to know, and the way you come to know, at least for me, is that you have a particular joy in doing it. And when your mind will tell you that you reached there, or this is what gives me the greatest pleasure, right? That's where your sweet spot lies. And then, of course, you can figure a way to scale it. And then as you scale it, make sure you don't become an operator for your business. You need to stay in the spirit of entrepreneur and delegate stuff that you're not good at. So I'll give an example. I cannot drive a nail through a wall. I cannot, right? So I don't do home projects. I don't like it. I dislike it, right? And all my friends, Ram, you're wasting your money. I said, if it's a beautiful day on a Saturday, I am not sitting home and doing world projects, putting a nail here, a shelf there, cutting this and cutting that. I'm not built for that. So I engage somebody. I go out and enjoy. That's something that fundamentally my structure is. I do things that brings me the joy of doing it. If it's not, I change it. And I've done it consistently throughout my life. As I said, I took the big risk, jumped on a fly, came here. But the thrill of being there in that situation is what motivates you to go ahead. So have a clear vision. Have a clear-cut value proposition for your vision. What is the clear value? Again, don't try to boil the ocean, because you are good at something and you're not good at many, like me. You're good at one thing, and that's what you need to focus on. And then you need to, when you start, you need to figure out what your MVP is, which is the minimum viable product, right? How can you start something with the lowest cost and acquisition, and how do you build it up? And when you build it up, as I said, do not be an operator, delegate and be an entrepreneur, right? So I'll give you a discussion that actually happened. So this is an example of a very well-known businessman actually throughout the world, the Tatas, right? Ratan Tata, he's the CEO of Tata Corporation today. And they own the Land Rover here, and there are multiple, you know, entities across the globe. So in an interview, this interviewer was, you talking about mindset, right? So he asked five different people, how long will it take you to buy a BMW? So people said, one person said, it make me 2 months because I'll just collect my money and I'll buy a BMW. The other said maybe 6 months. You know, the answer varied from 3 months to a year. When it came to Mr. Ratan Tata, he said, takes me 5 years. And the interviewer asked, why 5 years? He said, BMW is a big company.
So, yep, exactly.
To buy BMW, take me 5 years.
The company.
The question was, how long will it take you to buy BMW? They didn't mention the car. It is the thought process, right? Mm-hmm. How you think. Everybody else thought of buying a car. He thought of buying a company. Mm-hmm. It's the same individual skills everybody has. It's the thought process. And I feel that the 6 inches between the ears controls everything in life. The Absolutely. More you control that, more you guide it, more you guard it, the better you are.
And cultivating that growth mindset on your team
muscle.
That you lead, it is a muscle, and you have to empower that in your team.
Yes.
And that's where you said about delegating and surrounding yourself with people. As a leader, we want to surround ourselves with people on that same mission, but they don't need to be cookie cutter images of ourselves. They need to be better than us at other things that complement us. You know, I want to not be the smartest one in the room. You know, you want everyone else to work together, because that's how a team grows. So as you're
yes.
hiring for different positions, you got to definitely know what the expectations or the outcomes are needed for those job roles. But you also want to hire a diverse team that has different attributes that complement one another, that raise each other up and raises the standards and challenges you as a leader. As well, to be better.
Exactly.
So I'm really glad that you mentioned that also.
Yeah. And
very,
you know,
very
leadership is something that it's not something you give, right? You give mm-hmm. leadership. In other words, you take care of the people that are reporting into you, right? It's not the other way around. You don't direct people. You take care of people that are working for you. That's a leadership. That's mm-hmm. where everything kind of comes together.
Absolutely. And when you are growing your team, when you're growing your business, it's so crucial that you break it down like that, that you talk about those bite-sized goals, and you know, that way you can digest the progress that is need to be made, versus if you're always thinking about boiling the ocean instead of boiling this cup. It's
Correct.
Going to take forever to boil that ocean. You're never going to feel like you're making progress. So I'm glad that you mentioned those bite-sized chunks, those small goals, knowing your why, and then taking your why and make sure that everyone around you is on the same mission as that why, they understand that why. But then everybody in their own way, through independent individual accountability as well as shared accountability, is able to work collectively toward that why. That's going to allow you to grow as a business, as a team, in whatever realm of human service or any kind of service profession that you're in. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Well, before we wrap up, Prem, really great insights today. Your stories are powerful. What advice do you have for those entrepreneurs, those leaders, those future entrepreneurs that are listening to this, that they just want to take either that first steps or the next steps toward making that vision happen, or they've already got something in place and they're just trying to grow and accelerate their business to another level? What are one or two really powerful key takeaways for action that you would recommend?
Absolutely, Ryan. As we wrap this up, so, you know, we talked about a number of things, but two things that comes to when it comes to execution is, once you have a clear vision, you need to have a clear-cut strategy for it. Mm-hmm. Now, when you create a clear-cut strategy, you don't need to be too harsh on yourself. Just be who you are. Create the strategy to the best ability that you have, right? Whatever that strategy is. Because don't do, you know, research after research. Just go do it. Because any strategy could be beautiful on a piece of paper. But when it gets into the execution is where the problems or the challenges come in and you have to pivot. Yeah. So get the strategy. And then the second biggest part is take massive actions on that strategy, because that's where you'll find life coming in your way and how well you can get to your end goal. You may have to go make a left, make a right, make a left again, but that's where the rubber meets the road, so to say. Those are the two things. Have a sound strategy, go execute it. Don't think too hard. And when you execute it, all that strategy that need to be updated will come along the way. So those two things will be critical. And of course, the perseverance, everything else we talked about comes into play after that.
Absolutely. And if you are leading a team, in order to get the most out of that, you got to get buy-in and you got to get your team to join you on that mission versus feeling like you're doing your own thing and they're doing their own thing. And when you have that concise strategy and you communicate it clearly, and then you have everyone on your team who understands what their role is and why they're important, and everyone is equally valuable, that is the difference maker that will just take it to that next level. So Prem, this was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your stories, for sharing your insights. Your contact information is in the show notes if people want to reach out to you, as well as your website for your consulting business. But it was a pleasure chatting with you, and I'm looking forward to collaborating with you in the future as well to do some great things.
Yes, same here, Ryan. First of all, it was a pleasure, absolute pleasure meeting you. It's been about a couple of months, but mm-hmm. we share the same ideology and the passion for helping people. So I'm looking forward to continuing the collaboration and exploring new opportunities. Thank
Absolutely,
you again for this one.
You betcha. Great to see you, and I'll see you again soon.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.